son darabo karakai. Vendiso nasalai kevrutei. Enga chondora sike. Furambahai kenikusarehat. Vorute hila tu kutai, and again in the kuriasa. Oh, jandola dorosi, o tora handahai. Ay, 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 nada sikti tu boy. Vorosi ketendai, karanja don aritai.
And I'm elevating you. I'm going to sit you in a place of prominence, saith the Father. I'm going to bring you to a place where your beacon light will be seen all over the city. I'm going to cause you to shine forth and be a light of healing and a light of direction and a resurrection. I'm going to bring forth many things in this place, saith the Father. And I'm going to cause you to have so much favor. Favor is going to flow over. It's going to bubble over and flow over in this place, saith the Father. For your good, for your blessing, but also to accomplish my purpose. Have I not said in my word that as you seek me and pray for my kingdom to come and my will to be done, things will be established. And I'm establishing things, says the Father. I've established you in this place with a divine purpose, with a divine order, with a divine destination, and I'm leading you to it, says the Father. So rejoice and expect. Rejoice and expect. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice, and expect, for your Father is doing great and mighty things. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Okay.
You judge it, Pastor. Praise you. You judge it. I believe it. Hallelujah.
Glory. Ooh, I'm loud. Oh, let's just praise him again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness to us, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for your promises, Lord. And we receive them. Lord, I know that this body receives all that you have for them, that they take it by faith and run with it. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Woo! Glory, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Well, see, your celebration is not over. Homecoming, when I was a little girl, I grew up in the mountains like in West Virginia, but it was Virginia. Hey, I got them. Oh, woo! And we'd have homecoming, and it would be an all-day thing, and you'd have eating on the ground. Y'all remember that? Did you ever have that here? Okay. But, you know, look at aren't these balloons beautiful? And they signify something. They signify to celebrate. And we don't just celebrate once a year when we come to an anniversary, but that's good that we do, but we celebrate all year through, don't we? Amen. Woo! You can celebrate and put those on your new car. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm going to share just a little bit about us. We went to India in 2003. In 1992, a prophetess came to our church, and I'm sorry. I've got those dates all wrong. I'm not Kenneth Hagin. Oh, can you believe that? In 1992, we were pastoring, but we were supporting a young lady that was a missionary in India. And I didn't realize it. Ed and I had been married since 1985, and he's my good thing. And I had always wanted to serve the Lord, even as little. I can't remember accepting the Lord. I grew up in church. That was everything. That was everything. And I always had a hunger more. And I was in my 40s before I learned about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I met Ed and we got married. And he didn't share India with me right away. Not until this young woman came to our church. And then he started talking about India. Well, she had to come home every 6 months, just like we have to come home every 6 months. And she was a missionary there. And she was working in an orphanage. And she asked us to come over and see what she was doing. And I told Ed, I said, you go. God didn't call me to India. He called you. I said, I'll stay home and keep the fires burning. You know, I'll keep the church going. Well, she sent me a little album with all kinds of pictures in it. But when I opened it up, there was that scripture staring me in the face, Matthew 28:18-19. Go ye into all the world. And he was praying like crazy. So I said, okay, Lord, a bunch of tears. I'll go. And I was telling Debbie that when I stepped off of that plane in India, something burst inside of my spirit. It's something you can't explain till you experience it, that you know that this is your assignment. And so we've been there now. We went in 2003. A prophetess came to the church in 2003. And she told us that it was in the spring, summer, May or June. We had a camp meeting. And we had a young man that was in a church in the city next to us. And he came. And he honored us for starting and pioneering Word of Faith in that area and all this. And I was standing there and I said, Lord, this seems almost like a retirement party. Well, in a way it was. Because the next month, this lady came from South Africa. And she said, you're in transition. She said, by the end of the year, you won't be here. She said, you'll be in India. And sure enough, in November of 2003, we gave the church away and said goodbye, and we've never looked back. And India is really our home. We come home to visit family here, but our heart and our roots are in India. And we know that God's called us to some other nations, but India is our base. That's our home. And we teach and train and equip pastors. And we've, in the last 2 years, we have started Bible schools for pastors. We have a children's home. And we have a young man that Ed has mentored for all those years. Wonderful pastor. Has a church now of about 400. And his people love to pray and love to give. It is awesome to see. They wanted to build a new church. And every time there was an offering and they would go to take it out, there would be diamonds and gold in the offering for the building. Doesn't God bless that? I mean, they would take their wedding bands off and the gold, they have this necklace if they're have enough money, or if they can borrow enough money, that when they get married, they have a gold necklace on the lady. When they get engaged, they get their rings. And then when they get married, they have this necklace. Or some of them have a string, but they have it. So I'm not going to take a lot of time in that, but we also have a skill center there at that same church with Pastor Solomon. And God gave him to us as a son. He will call us from India. He's just on my heart. How are you doing there? And we will say, we need to call Solomon. And bing, somebody, he will call, or we will call. It's really, really neat how God will bond you with people in the body of Christ. No matter where you are, no matter what color you are, God bonds us together in His love, in His unity, and His anointing. Do you know the anointing over there is exactly the same as the anointing over here? So these are over there, but that's not what I have to put on my heart. Oh, thank you. It's bothering me. I feel like there's a fly on me. I want to flip it. Thanks. Yes. You know, I could just hold it.
Nah, we'll get it fixed here. Try to get it away from your mouth.
Okay. There's always first. Always. I don't care how old you get. I mean, you know, the baby, the first step. I don't care how old you get. You've always got a first, right? A something. And God's that way. Well, this is my first. I've held the mic. And I've had the little lapel, but I've never had one of these things before. So it works. I want you to turn to John 6. The title of my message tonight is One Makes a Difference. One, just one makes a difference. John 6, verses 5. Through 11. You love the Word?
Yes.
Amen. Woo, we love the Word. It's alive. Okay, are we there? Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that we may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many?" And you know, they had been with Jesus all this time and seen miracle after miracle. They'd just seen all kinds of miracles. That's why this crowd was following them. Do you know sometimes we're that dumb? If you just stop and think about it and all that we see God do, and then all of a sudden we think, oh, how's he going to do that? We sometimes do it, don't we? Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." If you'll notice, Jesus didn't tell the people to sit down. Jesus told the disciples, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000. Now this story is told in all 4 Gospels. And we know in the other one it says women and children also. And this is the only one that talks about the young lad. None of the rest of them, of the 3 Gospels, speaks about the young lad or mentions Philip and Andrew. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those who were sitting down. And likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. One can make a difference. Here was one little lad out of 5,000 men that was willing to give up what he had. Just one. You know this little boy, here his mama had given him his dinner. Or what, his little sack lunch to go with him. Might have put it in a poke. And it was made, if you notice, out of barley loaves. It wasn't made out of wheat, it was made out of barley. And I think that barley was a lesser grain than the wheat. So here in all of that, they already had noticed that this little boy had this. When Jesus said, you know, what do you have? And he said, okay, this one little boy out of 5,000. Is all they could find out of 5,000 men was these five loaves and two fish. And here's this little boy, and he says, my mommy made this for me. I'm not giving it to you. He could have said no. He could have made all kinds of excuses. He could have said, why? This is not enough to make any difference. Maybe he thought Jesus was the only one that's going to eat. But you know, there is something that one can make a difference. Just one. Just one. There's this little boy, and he is walking along the seashore, and there's been a storm. And all of these starfish had been swept up onto the, have you heard this before? Up on the seashore, you know, and starfish, they're actually alive. They're beautiful. They're beautiful. We have two that God gave us. And he was just picking them up and throwing them back in there and picking them up and throwing them back in there and being careful, you know, not to step on them, but to keep throwing them in there. And this elderly man walks down the seashore and he says, young man, what are you doing? He says, well, I'm throwing these back in. He said, you just look at all them. He says, you can't make a difference. He said, they're going to die. There's no way you can get all them. And the little boy goes over and he picks this one up and he pitches it out. And he said, made a difference for that one. One can make a difference. Okay. If you'll notice in verse 6, he spoke to Philip. Jesus knew what all was going on. He was testing Philip. That's what it says. But this he said to test him, for he himself knew, Jesus knew what was going to happen. But do you know, he tests us, doesn't he? He tests us to see if we're going to be willing and obedient to do just a little tiny thing. Maybe it's a sheep dropping in the church. Do y'all know what a sheep dropping is in the church? Good deal. We used to pastor, and there was one spot, and I knew who sat in that spot. They'd clip their fingernails, and there'd be all those fingernails in the floor, and and my sweet, dear, loving husband, sheep droppings, would say, sweetie, it's just sheep droppings. So, excuse me a minute. So, we can make a difference. It doesn't matter what God's called us to do if we're obedient to it. You know, if it's just to clean the church, if it's just to do whatever you see that your hand needs to do, that scripture, do whatever you see. We don't have to pray about picking up a piece of paper. You all may not have that problem. But India, oh, everything goes in the floor. I mean everything. I don't think y'all caught that. You have to watch where you walk if you don't want to step in things. Does that give you? But God does test us to see if we're willing, if we have a willing heart and we're obedient to His will. Partial obedience is disobedience. It may not be much that he's called us to do, and it may be a lot. And normally it's more than we could do on our own. Because if we could do it on our own, then he's not going to get the credit for it. But this young lad was faithful to give his all. He gave his whole meal. He didn't hold any of it back. So God wants our all. Do you know God can use, one person to change a nation? One person. Gandhi changed India. In the 1500s, Martin Luther changed the church world from Catholicism to what we have today, freedom. The just shall live by faith. Just that one man. And we see lots of them in the Bible. But you know, we don't always relate, really. We say, oh, well, they're in the Bible. But these men weren't in the Bible. So what can you do? Be obedient. And you never know that you may be changing a nation by the one thing of being obedient to make that difference. This obedience of this little boy, it led to a miracle. I hope everything's okay. All right. The obedience of one little boy led to a miracle. What will your obedience lead to? It led these two here 29 years ago to be faithful. Our obedience led us to India. And you know, people say, oh, you've sacrificed. No, we haven't. We don't see it as sacrifice at all. Because when you're in God's perfect will, you have His grace, you have His power, you have His anointing, you have everything that you need and more in an abundance. And the thing that you have the most is the peace of mind in your heart that you're doing His will, that you're pleasing the Father, that He's pleased with you. Don't you want to please the Father?
Oh, yes.
Oh, it's such a wonderful feeling to know. And yes, we can have feelings even in faith. Now, when we went to India, we didn't have to get faith to go. Because we knew God was sending us, and we were excited about it. But it took faith for us to leave our family. We had no problem going. None whatsoever. Unknown. We knew nobody. We knew not where we were going. We were just like Abraham. He said, go, and we went. We didn't go to mission conferences. We didn't go to trainings. And we wonder, okay, God, did we really hear you by doing this? Because most of the missionaries we meet on the foreign field, they've been to mission conferences and they've been to trainings and all. But God doesn't do the same with all of us. We are all individual with Him, with an individual call that makes up the whole body of Christ. He didn't make cookie cutters. We're all different. Isn't that wonderful? I guarantee you, if you get your chocolate chip cookie, you're not going to find two chocolate chips in it that's just exactly alike. They're going to be different. Amen? Amen? Amen. When God gives you something, you're responsible for it. You have got to take it, and you have got to use it, be it your talents, be it your time. The call, everyone has been called. Not just somebody standing here and teaching. This is just to equip you to go fulfill your call outside these walls. And we're called to go out there also. Because one can make a difference. I just want to give you one testimony about one. We have a Muslim, ex-Muslim driver. And he came to help me with garden work because God blessed me in India to have a little bit of land with a house that we had rented. And that you don't see very often. And I'm one of these that loves to dig in the dirt. If I've got my fingernails all dirty, then I'm a happy camper. So, but man, I tell you what, it was a mess. So I got this guy came to help. And he could understand a little bit of English, but he couldn't speak any English. But ladies, I am so blessed. I'm just going to break in on this. Y'all think sacrifice? I have a housekeeper. Do you think I'd have a housekeeper in America? Come on. Well, we're gone a lot. We need somebody to take care of the house. And all I could do was clean. And Ed started praying, honey, you need somebody to clean the house because you clean the house at 8 o'clock in the morning. By 12 o'clock, you can clean it again because of the dust. So, and I'm sort of a clean freak. I used to be, but not anymore. But our housekeeper speaks 7 languages. Of course, 6 of them are Indian languages and 1 is English. It's broken English, but we understand her very well now. And so she would interpret for us for him. And so he came and he was working in the garden. And most times your driver, anybody that helps you outside, they're not allowed in your house. You look at them as a servant or a slave. Really, some of them are treated just like slaves. But they don't even offer them a drink of water. It's terrible. It really is. Well, I had Sheila fix Indian food, and I said, now you bring him in to have lunch with us. So she went out to tell him, and, you know, he'd never heard of anything like that before. But he said, well, I can't go in that house. He said, they probably got pork in there. Muslims do not eat pork. They think it's unclean. The Christians over there, 95% of them don't eat pork because they think it's unclean. It's what they've read or what they've been told by the missionaries, and they don't know any different. Now Sheila and the driver, Noshi, both eat pork because they love pepperoni pizza. Yes, we have Domino's in the big city where we live. And you all think that we're suffering? But you go out of the city and it's a different world. You step outside your house, it's a different world. It's what you see on TV is a first world country with all the technology and everything. But behind the curtain, you're still in a third world country with 1 billion people that are in abstract poverty, that doesn't know the Lord, that worships millions of gods. And all of those gods are mean. You worship and give them gifts to appease them so that they might not do something horrible to you. But back to my story. To make a very long story short, Noshi became our driver. He took us to church. We asked him to go in. He didn't at first, but then he started going in, but he couldn't stay. He'd go in and out and in and out. We'd always let him have Friday off, especially by 1 o'clock because he went to prayer. Now, I'll tell you, the Muslims, their works. I mean, time for prayer, they're there on their knees doing their prayers. And so we'd say, okay, you know, you go to prayer. Well, he told Sheila, he said, I've never had anyone treat me like this. We didn't talk to him about Jesus. We just lived Jesus in front of him. And I'm not patting us on the back for that, but that's what we have to do. People see us outside. We need to be the same 24 hours a day, whether we're in the church, whether we're in our home, whether we're in the Walmart, or whether someone got in front of us and got our parking spot, and the things like that that we be concerned about, right? Yes, we must always portray the love of Jesus in our heart. Well, he wanted what we had. So now, Noshi is a spirit-filled Christian. And I've never in my life seen anyone change like he changed. His countenance, his ways, everything about him was a drastic change. I would have loved to have videoed it each time just for everyone to have seen what a change it was in him. So one can. If we didn't do anything else in India but change that one person, it was worth 9 years. It was worth 9 years. So there can be no victory without responsibility. We must be responsible. And there can't be miracles without our participation with the Holy Ghost. I mean, the little boy was obedient to give the bread. Then Jesus broke it, but he gave it to the disciples. And without the obedience of the disciples to distribute that and watch the miracle grow, as the more they fed, the more they had. The more they fed, the more they had. Wouldn't you? Oh, yes. So, don't y'all want to see things like that today? Don't we limit God in all that he has given to us and all that's available for us? There's going to be a lot more miracles in this church. I'm prophesying that. People are going to see miracles. And when they see miracles, they're drawn by it. And then they can get born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. And you can see Kaiser, West Virginia on the map. And the world changed. And each one of you makes a difference. Each one, with our obedience, it does. Teamwork makes a difference. We can't be one makes a difference, but you can't be a lone ranger in that. It took Jesus giving out his commands to the disciples, and then the disciples going and finding the food, and the little boy giving the food, and then the disciples being obedient to distribute this food. Mm-hmm. That's what caused the miracle. So, what are we going to do to cause the miracles? The things that God wants the world to see. The world needs Jesus. They need his love. You know, the biggest miracle is someone being born again. That whole new creation. It's wonderful to see. Wonderful. And you know, I can tell you that you've got lots of churches in Kaiser. But you've got a lot of people that are lost going to hell in Kaiser. And most of them are the good people. The bad, somebody that's been on drugs, or they're in alcohol, or pornography, or they have a problem with lying, or abuse or something. You know they've got a problem. They know it. And they know they need something. They know they need something. And they're usually crying out. But the person that's good doesn't steal, pays the bills on time, doesn't lie, keeps his lawn mowed, all of these things. I'm a good person. They're the hardest to reach. They are the hardest to reach. We got our work cut out for us. But you know what? Really not. It's not our responsibility for them to accept Jesus. It's just our responsibility to sow the seed and someone else to water that seed and someone else to reap the harvest. Are we ready to do that?
Amen.
Are we going to all make a difference in Kaiser, West Virginia? Good. We feel like we're part of your family. We just appreciate that we got to come and be a part of your homecoming and to feel the love of Jesus and to know that this church is solid. Solid in the Word of God. It is wonderful. You may look around and see we're just a few. It's all it takes.
Amen.
But I see this church full.
Yeah.
I see this church running over.
Yeah.
It took 37 years before Ed got to go to India. So you've been here for 29. It won't be 29 more. Before you see this place running over, flowing at, you got a river. There's a river out there, but there's a river in here. Woo! And I can see that river wash going out these, out the doors. Hallelujah. And you know what? When the water starts running, when it starts going, if you ever watch it, do you ever watch water, how it goes? It'll go down, and it'll go down through here, and you think it's going on there, but there's a place, and it runs down through there. And then it'll go there, and then it'll run down over through there. Woo! And you know, if it's level here, but you got a slant there and you got a slant there. Jeez, that water's running this way too. Pastor Gordon, yes. It's running all over here and touching her. Yeah. Woo. Are you full of the living water? Are you a river that's flowing to reach out and water the word and touch the world? Because you all have been supporting us, and you've touched India.
Amen.
And every soul that's been saved, and all the young people that we've taught over the last 2 years that are filled with the Holy Ghost and are out witnessing, you've touched them also. That's awesome. And we appreciate you that you would stay here, because we find it harder to live here than to live in India. But when you're in your place, in the body of Christ, doing the assignment that God's called you to do, His grace is sufficient. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor.